Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Early on this past Thanksgiving morning, I drove Antonio and Claudio, my two visitors from Brazil, to the railroad station in Hempstead, which is just a short distance from the home of my niece Rachel and her family in Garden City, where later in the day we would be sitting down to a Thanksgiving meal, Antonio and Claudio's first American Thanksgiving dinner. But from Hempstead, we took the train into Manhattan because I wanted my visitors to experience watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. It's something everybody's got to do at least once. Back when I was the Protestant chaplain at C.W. Post College, I would each year take international students who had remained on campus during that short break, take them into the city for this event. I always looked forward to the event with expectation. Not only was it fun to do this for the student, this year it was also fun to do it for Antonio and for Claudio. On that day, there's an excitement in the crowd. There's a sense of hospitality. There's the extension of best wishes, which we don't always experience in the Big Apple. And certainly, I think that's triggered by the presence of the children who are there, because this parade is really their parade to which we adults are invited. And some of the parade goers were there on the street filling their prize viewing area 2, 3, or more hours before the parade began. We got there after the crowds had already formed and many of the streets were blocked off. We quickly moved from one spot to another, going through areas there where there was walking distance, until we could finally find a spot in which we could stand and watch what would be transpiring. And then we waited. And we waited. And part of my task, I felt, was to assure my friends as well as the little children that were around us that the parade, yes, would be happening, and that it was something really worth waiting for. I had a listing of the parade order, which had come from the newspaper page the day before, and there was just enough information there that I could share with them what would be taking place, that the mood would not be just waiting, not just watching, but expecting. You know, it's that same mood that I would want to try to convey to you this morning on this very first Sunday of Advent. Over the years, I have preached many sermons on the first Sunday of Advent, in which the theme always came across that it's a period of waiting and watching. And I do plan to focus on that next week. But my experience of waiting for the Thanksgiving morning parade, together with the two scripture lessons assigned for this particular day, says that it's much more than simply waiting and watching. You know, waiting can be a very meaningless experience, particularly when waiting doesn't lead to any positive end. I'm waiting to win the lottery. Good luck. It's more waiting than anything else. Or the musician or the acting, just waiting to be discovered. The unemployed person who never fills out the application form, never hits the pavement looking for work, just waiting for a job to come along. All of these I consider waiting as a meaningless exercise, getting one no place. The theme of Advent is to live in expectation. Waiting and watching takes on an entirely different meaning when it's placed within the context of expectation. And the question I should be asking each of you this morning, and pardon the kind of indelicacy of the phrase, are you expecting? If you're not, then Advent is just another 4 weeks on the calendar. And Christmas is just that day on December 25th when the stores are closed, or at least most of them. And we open presents, we eat another big meal. But if we are expecting, then perhaps the road to Christmas and the message of Advent is that something new is trying to be born. Trying to be born in each of us. Trying to be born in this particular community of faith in which we try to live out the themes that we will be expressing on the Advent wreath of hope and peace and joy and love. Trying to be born in this world of ours, which is so much in need of what is incarnate in the one we proclaim to be Lord and Savior, whose message, whose actions, whose life was and continues to be the way, the truth, the life. And I think it's important to hear this on December 4th, 2012, and on the days and years that follow. If we are expecting, then truly we will experience what goes along with expecting, the pains of labor. As we cry out, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom Israel. Or we sing, oh holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Advent is the declaration that the seed has been planted. Now, is that too sexual a way to say it? That's Scripture's way of saying it. That's the church's way of saying that the seed has been planted. Something new is really waiting to be born. And we are called upon to prepare for its arrival with the same kind of care, with the same kind of urgency, with the same kind of joy as any expectant father or mother awaits the birth of a child. I'm becoming more and more convinced that Advent can have meaning for us only if we are bold enough to declare that at this time, in this place in which we are pregnant with possibilities, that something is longing to be born. When one reads the message of the prophets, in particular those passages that were read by Linda this morning, we realize that Israel of old was not just waiting for something. They were expecting something. Their hopes were not just wishful thinking. Their hopes were based on God's promises, which permitted them to live in expectation. Listen to the way the prophet Jeremiah states it in what Linda read this morning. And note the sound of expectancy. Speaking of when, and I'm now quoting from Jeremiah, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety." The mood needs to be similar to that which we experienced on 59th Street and Broadway, where we stood practically on tiptoes on Thanksgiving morning, knowing that the parade will come, not just waiting for it, not just watching for it and assuming it will probably come, but expecting it. Our body keyed up for its arrival. "Even so, Lord, quickly come." The mood is, well, it's like being in the delivery room at the hospital, awaiting the arrival of a baby trained in the Lamaze method. Not just waiting in a nonchalant, unconcerned manner, but rather anticipating, counting, breathing with, doing everything possible to help that process along, while at the same time knowing you need to let the process follow its own timetable. What a mood to be in. That mood of expecting. And when did this mood first begin? I imagine for most mothers and fathers to be, it began the day when the woman was told, in no uncertain terms by the doctor, "You are pregnant." And from that very moment, the word is out. We, husbands always join in, we are expecting. And from that point, the routine of days changes somewhat. Or maybe changes a great deal. From that point on, the couple becomes deeply involved in preparing for the blessed event. Advent is the declaration of pregnancy. It's the declaration of expectancy. It's a call to preparedness. It's the urgent cry to be ready for the most blessed of all events. Now, isn't it a shame that for many, yes, even for many Christians, those who take the Christian faith quite seriously, that Advent has become simply a routine, and Christmas will come and go, and no initial joy upon the declaration made this first Sunday of Advent? Expectancy. No, all-consuming efforts need to be toward preparation. Somehow, for most of us today, the preparations are all fixed upon decorating our homes and our churches, and we'll be doing that this afternoon, holding the parties, buying the presents for everyone, all important. But the one being born seems to be ignored. All the efforts spent on those preparations rather than on the needed preparations in our lives and in our churches and in our communities and in the world at large for the blessed event. Yes, the arrival of God incarnate in that babe of Bethlehem, ready to be born in our midst, even if we're not ready for that arrival. And what if Christmas comes and once again our attention is given to everyone and everything except the one now born and now among us? Today, it's the first Sunday of Advent. and the declaration is made. He is coming soon. It's a call to live in that expectation. How is it for you? Let us bow together in prayer. Even so, Lord, quickly come and grant that we might be found waiting and watching and expecting and anticipating. And may we be found prepared for the arrival of the blessed event. Amen.